This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
All right, musician and New York Times best-selling author Brian Head Welch made headlines in 2005 when he became a Christian and abandoned heavy metal supergroup Korn after a very personal spiritual encounter he had at his home in California. He's got a brand new book out with My Eyes Wide Open, Miracles and Mistakes on My Way Back to Korn. It's going to be due out here in Australia, well, actually this week, and it's the guitarist's account of the brutal, eye-opening 8 years he spent as a single dad after leaving Korn, and he joins me on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, it's evening where you are, but it's morning here in Australia.
Yeah, I just got done from going to sushi with my friend for his birthday. It's like 10 p.m. here, yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Or no, it's midnight here. It's midnight.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, we appreciate you staying up for us. Now,
yes,
Brian,
thanks for having me.
Listen, I only got this book in my hands yesterday, and I started reading, I tell you what, oh my goodness, I was hooked, line, and sinker. I absolutely love it. It's such a great book. And you know what I love? I love your honesty. You're so authentic in your honesty and transparency and how you write, and it was so refreshing. So, look, tell us first of all, Brian. Now, we are obviously down here in Australia, right? But you know what? We're in Sydney, but I grew up in country Queensland, another part of Australia, in a little place called Ipswich. But you know what blasted from my older brother's room all through the 90s? It was Korn. It was Korn.
Forgive me.
You guys have been a big part of, I guess, my teenage years, and here we are in little Australia. So the impact of Korn was worldwide. And, you know, you made headlines when you became a Christian and left Korn in 2005. Tell us a little bit about the trials you faced after leaving the metal scene.
Oh, wow. I mean, it started right away. You know, it was mainly like the first trials was just like, you know, I left all the luxury. So it was like I had some money saved away and all that, and I got careless with my money after becoming a Christian for some reason, because for years and years I trusted in money, and so I was just kind of not, you know, I didn't really care about investments anymore. I just, you know, it was like, because money made me so greedy before that it was like, when I quit the drugs and drinking, part of me was like, I don't even want to mess with the money anymore, the way it makes me feel, you know?
Yeah.
And so you do that, and then some sharks are going to come around you. So I had some people come around and, you know, make some bad moves with my money and everything, and I let it happen. So that was one thing. And then just losing the status, you know, losing, like, you know, who I was in the entertainment industry, got made fun of by, because back then in 2005, it wasn't as mainstream. I think it, you know, Christianity was, it was more of a shock to, you know, it was like a, you know, some guy leaves a big band and dark band and becomes Christian. So it was more of a shock. So I got some of that. So yeah, it was financial. I had a lot of emotional trials too, where I felt like God was, you know, cleaning my soul out, but everything that was ugly in me was coming to the surface. So that was really hard too, because that lasted forever. I was like, can't you do this quicker, God?
Isn't that like a constant prayer that we ask?
That's why it says patience all over the place in the Bible, I think.
Oh, totally. Tell us how God made his presence known to you during that time.
Oh my, I mean, I felt like my soul was a yo-yo. It was like I was going up in the heavenlies, and I was coming down and wherever, you know, it was just like I was up and down. It was like I would have a season for a couple months where I could feel his presence, or a couple weeks to a couple months, or where I could feel just, I felt peace and I felt his presence. And then all of a sudden it was like just depression, agony of my emotions. And I came across some cool books that really taught me that he uses some of the sufferings. It's like gold, you know. It's like the gold is refined by the fire, and it just becomes pure like that. And so when we go through difficult things, we become, he cleanses us that way, and that's just the way it goes, and that's, you know, that's the way he does it. And so he was always there right when I felt like I wanted to quit or run away or whatever. Even, you know, my depression was so bad, I felt like, you know, I wish I was I wish I could just die sometimes, you know. It's just, it hurt so bad. I didn't know why I didn't feel better. And then he would come and just, you know how God does, just like really gentle and kind and loving. And he just would give me the strength to keep going.
So good, so good. So in your new book, With My Eyes Wide Open, you talk a lot about being a single dad to your now teenage daughter. A huge change of pace. What was the most challenging thing about that time? And then what was the most rewarding?
Oh, wow. I mean, it was all rewarding in the beginning. It was fun because she was at a great age. She was like 6, 7 years old, you know, when I got her, when I left the band and all that. And so, you know, it was a little bit challenging to fit in into the normal life, you know, because I had tattoos everywhere and long black hair. And so I would go to school and take her to school. And some of the, you know, I got complained against by some parents because I looked scary and they thought I was trolling the parking lot, looking at kids. And I'm like, no. And the principal loved me because I got talking to her right away, and she would defend me to all the parents. Oh, he's love. He's awesome. He loves Jesus. He's fine. And so it's stuff like that. And so that was a little challenging, but me and my daughter had a really good time. And I talk about it in the book. We had some great times, just, you know, getting the hamsters and whatnot. And a lot of pets that I got my daughter throughout the years. And so I share all that stuff. But yeah, it was just challenging being a single dad a little bit, you know, because, you know, I came from a band that's like, I got served all, like every day. I had people, servants or whatever, you know, there was bodyguards, there was assistants and everything. And they did everything for us. And then when I quit, it was like, you know, I had to learn life again. You know, it was like kind of, I felt like a teenager in some ways in my mind and my emotions, you know. So I had to grow up. And it's sad to say a little bit, but I kind of grew up with my daughter as she grew up.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got a great relationship with your daughter, Janaea. But you know what? I mean, any parent who's listening of teens and tweens knows that there's challenges, and you had to go through some of those challenges. And you talk about that in the book. I think this book's going to be helpful to so many people. Tell us how she's doing now.
She's doing amazing. I was just talking to her right before you called. And so she's amazing. We walked through a lot, you know. What I did when I left the band, I left to get to know God, but I also, you know, I left the band for her because her mom's not in her life that much at all. And they're working on their issues, you know. But, you know, I chose the right things to do. You know, I left the band. When I found out God was real and he was calling me, I left the band for my daughter. I left my band to raise her. I felt like I did all the right things for her to make her be okay in life. And then as soon as she turned 14, she got mixed up with the wrong crowd. And every fear that I had about being a parent to a young daughter came true. I mean, I'm talking with the boys, with just rebellion, with, you know, wanting to do drugs, all that stuff came right and faced me. Like, I had to face every single fear. And so she got really bad after a little bit after she turned 14. She started getting suicidal thoughts and she started getting depression and started harming herself. So I had to find counseling for her. I talk about all those intimate details about tough love with her and all the stuff she went through, but she's doing amazing right now. She's been in this program for a few years we're like family with the people that run it. She goes to a boarding school and she's doing amazing. And she gave me permission to share all the ugly that she went through as well in the book. So it's a really intimate look at, you know, a lot of these young people. It's kind of an epidemic in the world, you know, of all this self-hate and depression that these young people go through.
And she actually writes at the end of the book, she actually writes a letter to the readers. And I read that last night. It was just beautiful. And oh my goodness. I mean, just reading just what she had to say. I mean, I was just like, wow, that girl, she's going to change people's lives. She's definitely got a voice and a message. I was excited about her. I'm like, oh my goodness, she needs to write her own book.
Oh, right. You know what? Thank you so much. I'll tell her that when we hang up, but, she's really, I'm so proud of this girl. And So how you read that book fast?
I was hooked, honestly. It just had me. And I think because I grew up listening to the music, and then I'd heard that, you know, you met Jesus, and I wasn't a Christian either, you know, in my teenage years. And then I met Jesus. So I was just so captivated as to what you had to say and the journey. And I actually especially love, and you talk about this in the book, that you, you know, this journey, I think it was 8 years, but then you eventually, you know, went back and rejoined Korn. And I actually really love that. And tell us a bit about that decision to do that.
Oh, thank you. You know, it was a really big decision because I had been gone almost a decade. And so I was doing my own thing. You know, sure, I went through a lot of trials and went through a lot of financial difficulties and all this stuff, but I had to file for bankruptcy and reorganization for financially and everything, but I was doing okay. I was climbing back and all that, so I ended up with my daughter. You know, before she got really bad, she started getting into rock music, and so she would ask me to take her to festivals, and I'm like, I left all that. You know, I don't want to go there. but you know, it was a lot of my friends were playing those festivals, and so we actually jumped on a tour bus with one of our friends and ended up at a rock festival. Korn was headlining. I ended up just reconciling with them, and they asked me to play a song on stage, and next thing you know, there were people were in tears. The singer was in tears, and it just, you know, it was curious, and I was like, what is going on? And I started praying about it, thinking about it, and I just felt like Jesus was showing me, like, what better place to be to tell people about him, you know? And so this is what, like, this book, I'm taking it, you know, I'm doing every interview I do in the rock world or anything, you know, I get to talk about my faith, and all the fans, and you know, it's some of these kids won't hear about the Lord, and so I'm just being used in that area. A lot of some Christians in the religion that are more religious don't get why I would go back or whatever, and they think I just went back to my old life, but it's a calling. It's a true calling, and I was scared to go back, actually. I was like, I don't really have a desire to, and I'm just doing fine on my own, you know, but it's a calling and so I just answered the call.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think you're going to reach, I mean, so many more people, thousands and thousands and thousands, because, you know, they're not going to come into a church, but they're going to come and see a Korn gig. And I mean, you say in the book, since you rejoined the band, you've prayed with thousands of fans after your show, and it's been such an impacting, I mean, it's your ministry. It's so, so good. Absolutely love what you're doing. Highly recommend you guys grab the book, everyone listening. Now, Brian, just tell us in just like 30 seconds, why should people get this book?
You know, it's real, it's raw, it's honest, and there's no hiding anything. And I open my soul, and I open the door to my house and my family in order to help people. So I just think people will really, really really respect that, you know, because you got to be real with this generation. People can smell a phony miles away. So,
yeah, so true. Brian Head Welsh, thank you so much for having a chat this morning.
Right on. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.